Hi, and welcome to Jesus Over Everything, a five-day-a-week variety show that mixes encouragement, the Bible, practical how-tos, and fantastic guests for the listener on the go. I'm Lisa Whittle, and I welcome you to just 5 minutes with me, which I trust and pray will be 5 minutes well spent. We've got Annie F. Downs back with us on the show today, and I'm super happy about that. Annie is such a pro. She made me somehow feel like she was still interviewing me, even with the questions I was asking her. She's so good at what she does on the That Sounds Fun podcast. If you haven't listened already, you really should. And by the way, we're going to link my interview with her from a few years ago on that show in the show notes of this show in case you want to listen to that. Here we go with our interview, which I wasn't at all sure, by the way, we could get done in even under 30 minutes, but we did. So, okay, I need to start out by speaking into what everyone is probably noticing already, and that is my voice sounds cray and even more manly than usual, if that's even possible. I did not think that was possible, but I've been sick, and I feel fine, actually, but the show must go on, right, Annie? I mean,
that's how it goes. You wish we got to stop when we felt bad.
Right. No, we just keep going. I'm glad no one can see me, though, because that would be frightening. Yeah. But you're honestly the perfect person to have this issue with because you're into the real stuff like me. And that's why I love you. I've always loved you. And we go way back.
Yeah,
and
we go way back.
We do. I don't even know how many years. We won't even go there because my brain is fried and maybe we don't want to remember how many years. But it's why I love you. It's why I loved Remember God, the book, so much. We're going to get into that in a minute. But look, okay, so this show is just 15 minutes. And I was just telling you, I don't even know if that's possible for us. I was thinking, like, I feel like our laughter could take up 15 minutes.
I think it did when you were on my show. We had an hour and I bet we laughed 15 minutes of it for sure.
Right? I know. It's so true. I'm like, Annie and I maybe can't pull this off, but I don't know. We're going to do whatever we can. We'll maybe split this up into 2 days. I don't know, whatever. But
I'm going to keep it short. I'm going to answer short and sweet. I've really got a goal.
I don't want you to. That's the problem. It's like, I want to hear stuff. So that's my problem with this. I'm like, what am I even doing trying to do for 15 minutes? But we'll see. Okay. I'm going to dive right in and I'm going to ask you what I ask everyone who comes on here. And that's because my show is called Jesus Over Everything. And I believe strongly in that for me in my life, probably because I've tried lots of things and I've experienced that really that sort of has to be the priority. Yeah. But I'm curious as to what does Jesus over everything mean to you in your life? And so kind of more specifically, what does that phrase look like for you and require of you personally right now with where you are right now?
Yeah. You know, to me, when I think of Jesus over everything, I'm in a place where I have a lot of friends who really need miracles. Like it's one of those times, Lisa, where like my prayers have kind of been like, God, you got to do this, right? Like I don't know who else to turn to. And I am in a place where I have more friends than I've had in a long time who don't believe what I believe. And in both of those situations, the actual answer is, well, Jesus over everything, right? Like I don't know how to fix these situations, but Jesus will. And I don't know what to tell you that will make you believe what I think you need to believe, but Jesus will. So it's just him over everything. Like it's him over all the other things that try to tell us they're enough. It's him over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's funny because Jesus, of course, the name Jesus is so polarizing. So sometimes I think that can be like comforting to people, and it can also be sort of irritating to people, right? So when you say Jesus over everything, well, I don't know. Why do I think it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the name Jesus, like you say God, and people are cool with that pretty much because God can be super universal, but Jesus is different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think, you know, for me, like I feel like Jesus, saying the name Jesus is so important in this day and time, especially so that people understand what we're really talking about here. Not that God, not saying God is not important, right? But like that we're telling people like, this is the way, this is the only way. Yeah. So that's very interesting. And I think that's very true for a lot of us. I think a lot of us are finding ourselves in that place that you're speaking of right now, where it's not enough just to sort of talk about, you know, speak platitudes or whatever, right. but we're really saying like Jesus over everything. And I don't have another answer for you.
That's it. And the other, the scarier thing is if there's no one in your life who you don't have to say Jesus over everything to, you know,
yeah.
please tell me we're all living in a world where you have at least one friend who doesn't believe what we believe.
Yeah, that's such a good point too, because if you find yourself not having to be faced with saying that, then you might be in a situation where you're in a cookie cutter situation. You're in a situation where you're surrounding yourself with people who are just in your safe little circle. And that's not cutting it anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. So, no, it's just, well, it shouldn't be. It never should have been.
Right.
Like we were never meant to turn inward, but I did. And it was easy. And I have found actually that by living in a way that Jesus is more, Jesus over everything, but having friends who don't believe that, what I'm actually getting is a front row seat to the miracle of God pursuing someone.
That's
and
so good.
I didn't have that when all my friends were Christians.
And that then in turn, don't you think, just buoys your own faith, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just makes me so much smaller, right? It makes me so much less important because yeah. I go like, if Jesus doesn't pursue these people, if Jesus doesn't pursue my friend, there is nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Except be Annie. You know, like there's just nothing I can do. I can't win people to Christ. I can tell them who he really is to me, but it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to himself, right?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, it just makes me so much smaller, Lisa. It just made me way less like want to say anything. My friend John McLaughlin was just on my podcast and he said, he quoted this Dawes song and he said, instead of trying to figure out every word, what if we just hummed along?
Gosh, that is so good.
Right? And so I'm just having a really great time loving Jesus with my whole heart and making friends with people who don't know him yet.
Okay, I'm going to be chewing on that one for a while. That humming along. Yeah, that's super good. Okay, so now here's the follow-up sort of biggie. My mentor is the best question asker. And one time he asked both my husband and me this really interesting question, right? And here's what it is. He said, if you could do anything and it wasn't a sin, what would it be? Now, that's a huge question, right? So think about that for a minute. I'm not going to ask you that question today because
I can't answer that.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I promise. But so here's a cousin question. Like I gave you the worst question and then this one will seem like nothing, right? Okay, so I put you in. No, here's a cousin question. So if you were going to put anything in your life over Jesus, what would it be?
Well, probably myself.
Yeah.
To be the truth is that I would think about myself more than I already do. And I think that is, I mean, I think to ask that question is to say, what do you do in your life where you put something above Jesus? Cause we all do.
Right.
And so to me, I think it is more this, that's more the question is what do you already, and I would think it would probably be my own needs and worrying about satisfying my own needs above following. Yeah. Above following Jesus and above pursuing that the most.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I think about, of course, self is like, to me, the big umbrella of, you know, what I always put over Jesus at the end of the day. And then maybe under that would be things like comfort. My comfort is really important to me. A lot of times the things that are come comfortable to me, I think there are times in my life that I've probably put food over Jesus, to be honest with you. I know that sounds kind of strange. Like, you know, how could I put food over Jesus?
But there are many person listen to this who doesn't know what it's like to pick something that you can intake that will make you feel better, whether it's food or alcohol or drugs or a person, you know, like,
right.
That doesn't sound crazy.
And even like, you know, when I went through I went through a period where I went through a year shopping fast because for me, and people are kind of like, you know, shopping is one of those slippery ones because I would always buy things on, you know, on a bargain and it, like I could afford them, but it was still replacing Jesus, like, cause I went to it. It was that thing that I would run to. And so for me, I had to go hardcore for that year because I knew that I was running to it. But it, you know, so for me, shopping actually was something that I realized was that I was putting over Jesus. And so
at the time, I mean, I also, I would only push back to hear your thoughts, not because I disagree with you. But I would push back and go, there was no way in that moment you were saying to yourself, I love this more than I love Jesus.
No, no.
I think that's where we get tripped up. So one of the things that people ask me or have said to me a lot lately, especially when it involves Remember God and like this idea of like not getting what you pray for, is people are like, well, then people who act like God is a vending machine. And I'm like, no, literally none of my friends have ever said God is a vending machine. What they say is, how come when I pray, I don't get what I pray for?
Yeah.
Right. And so the same is true for when we put other things in front of Jesus. Nobody is going, I would love to love shopping more than Jesus, or I would love to love marshmallows more than Jesus. What they're actually saying is, I am in need and I am feeling like I'm not enough, or the situation's not enough, and nothing else is meeting that need. So I will go meet it.
Right.
Whether that's with food or humans or sex or drugs or whatever. And so there's this thing where I think if we ask some of our friends, like, what do you love more than Jesus? People are going to go, I don't love anything more than Jesus. But then the question can be, when you feel like you don't have everything you want, what do you do?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I do think we're many times we're not seeing what we actually put and elevate over him. We don't see it in our daily lives. We don't see it.
We never say that. I would never tell you I purposely put something over Jesus, but I can tell you, looking back, opportunities that I took and moments where I went, oh, the reason I did that is because Jesus didn't feel like enough to me. And so I needed something. Could anything please just feel like enough? And nothing did until. And so you realize that. And the other thing, Lisa, that you and I both know is true about Jesus is when you are in need, he will meet that need. But that does not mean you're going to feel all that much better.
No, that's one thing I love about Remember God, because you sort of talk about that. Like, I feel like you, that's your newest book. I loved it. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But one thing I loved about that you talk about that in Remember God is you don't try to fill some of those spaces where, where maybe I think it's our tendency to want to go, you know, but God was awesome and, you know, but God still was great. And like, we still get that. We still get that you very much love God in those moments that, maybe for lack of a better way to say it, he left you hanging or whatever. But I think, you know, you let us feel that, that dullness in the moment, that emptiness in the moment, that longing in the moment, or whatever it was. And I think that's important because those are real emotions. And one of the things that when I talk to my best friend, she's an avid reader and we talk a lot about books and sometimes we agree and sometimes we disagree. And one of the things that she says a lot that she has a problem with Christian books is, right, she says, I feel like that it's all too neatly tied up with a bow and people don't let, you know, like there's no room to just feel that moment where we just were disappointed or whatever it was, you know, with God. And you don't do that with Remember God. And I love that about the book.
Thank you. Yeah, I just couldn't do it anymore. You know?
Yeah,
like what good are we doing for any of our friends to pretend like things are okay when they're not okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you walked away from, I haven't walked away from my faith at all. In fact, I actually, like, my thank yous in the back of the book, I say to God, like, I would have never known you like this if you wouldn't have walked me through this, you know?
Yeah.
But it is choosing the sadness to go hand in hand with the joy versus forcing one to bow to the other.
You know, when I read it, Annie, it reminded me of like that in Mark 9, where the man with the, of his son with a boy with a demon inside, where he said, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. It's kind of that quandary of like, I love you and I believe you, but still help me, you know, that kind of a thing. Like, it reminded me of that quandary of life, of you loving God so deeply and believing him and yet struggling to believe him. You know what I mean? And that to me is, that's the beauty of grappling. That is the beauty of, that's called relationship. That's called real. And that's one reason I loved it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I mean, and that's just, I mean, that is just who I am, you know, living like that comes easy. Writing about it wasn't quite as easy, but living like that, I'm just like, that's kind of all I know to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and you, but the, the end of the story is always Jesus over everything. Like, the end of the story is, it's okay if you don't feel better. It's still Jesus is the right answer. It's okay if all your needs are not met. Jesus is still the right answer. Like,
yeah.
Like, your feelings come in line. Your feelings are so important, and they come in line right behind the truth, which is that Jesus is everything and above everything. And
yeah.
All of it, right?
Yeah. And so it's your latest book. You've written a gaggle of books by now, Annie, and I've been around for all of them.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. But this one does feel different to me. There's a different kind of power, I think, in a way. And I know you love all your books. So this one just feels a little different to me.
Yeah.
I told you, after I finished it, that first of all, I finished it, which, you know, honestly, in this day and time, for anybody to finish a book anymore is quite a feat.
Sure.
I know we as authors hate hearing that. I hate hearing
it. So true.
You know, but I think we also understand it in a way, because we struggle to finish every book. I mean, let's just be honest.
It's true. Right?
Yeah. But it also passed my litmus test for books, which is, did it make me want Jesus more? I told you it definitely did. So those are two huge things. But talk to me about why, out of all the books you could have written right now, out of all the topics you could have, you know, gone into, why was Remember God the one? Why was it the one?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I'm not married, so I can't really totally do this apples to apples thing. But, you know, some people think there's one person for you on the planet, and some people think there are a lot of people on the planet for you, but you pick the one and you stick with it.
Yeah,
and I would say that this is one of the scenarios where there were a lot of things I could have written, but I knew which one I wanted to stick with. And I knew which one I wanted. So it didn't feel to me like there was this one magical book I was supposed to write. It felt like, well, if I'm telling the truth, and if I'm really saying to my people who follow me and who read my stuff and who are my friends on the other side of the book or from a stage or from a podcast, if I'm telling the truth, then I'm telling them the truth that this has been hard and that I feel bamboozled. And I had a season of my faith where I thought I had signed up for something different than what I was getting. And I just thought, I just have to tell that story. And so that's really where it came from, was that is the story I had to tell for myself. I mean, honestly, the book at the beginning, it's the dedication. It says, "This one, dearest, is for you." And it's dedicated to me. I mean, I wrote this book, and I realized it. I write about it, but I realized it about a third of the way through writing it, that like every other book I've been able to frame a picture on my desk of who I was writing for. And this time I couldn't think of who it was until I was doing a podcast interview with Andy Osenga and was like, oh my gosh, this is for me. Cause I'm not sure God is kind. And the story I need to tell is one that I need to hear. And so that's why it made this the right one, is because it was a story I needed.
I love that so much. I think that's reflected in how it feels as to the reader as we read it. I think you can tell, there's just a different sincerity there. There's a different, there's just, you just went to a different place, in my opinion, and it's felt. And those are things that you can't, as a writer, sort of try to do. They just happen. And so I think it's beautiful, and it's just such a good offering, an important offering for us as all of us kind of walk through this. Is God kind? Because I think that's a universal question, whether we speak it out loud or whether we just think it in our innermost thoughts.
Right.
When we deal with deep disappointments and such that you just speak into. So thank you for the offering, because it is, it's a good one.
Oh, you're kind. I appreciate
that. Okay. So quick, let's do a little lighthearted, fun, kind of a free association.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Don't overthink it. Just sort of go with it. Yeah. All right. A word you love.
What's it called? Trampoline. I love that word. I think it's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Fun.
Yeah.
A word you hate.
Smell. I just have never liked ELL words. Like, I just don't think they're pretty.
Ooh, I don't like it either. Yeah. Okay. What's your perfect Saturday?
My perfect Saturday is sleeping late, getting brunch with people I care about, watching a football game, getting to work out in some form or fashion, eating at this place in Nashville called Baja Burrito for lunch, taking a nap, and then dinner with friends. We did this birthday dinner last night where there was like 10 of us and no one was in a hurry and everybody was just like really calm and settled and cool. And it was awesome. And so I, that would be a perfect Saturday to me.
Mm, you're naming so many things I love, especially food and sleeping. Yeah. Those two things are on the top of my list.
Like so underrated.
Oh, I'm with you so hard right now. Who's the kindest person you know?
The kindest person I know is my friend Heather Fleener. She just, it feels like she is always thinking about someone else besides herself. But even when she is thinking about herself, she's doing it because she wants to be better for the people around her.
I love that. Okay, if you were held at gunpoint and told if you didn't impress them with your dance moves, you'd be killed, what dance moves would you bust out?
Oh gosh, I don't like doing any of that.
You don't?
Okay. No, it's just, you don't. So I would, I mean.
Or would you, or a show or a tune, what would you sing?
I would
sing?
Just talk them out of it. I would just, okay. Talk them out. I would just talk them in such a circle that they would leave. They would be like, you know what? I'm going to walk away. Okay, this girl hadn't shut up in 8 minutes and I didn't think that could happen.
Exactly.
I'm just not a funny dancer. Like I don't have great moves and I don't have silly moves. I have something else.
Yeah. You're just kind of thrashing out there.
Yeah. I just am.
Okay. First thing you do when you get home from a trip?
Unpack immediately. Like I unpack before I set everything down, before I turn on a Christmas light, before I, you know, open the fridge, before I go to the bathroom, I unpack everything start to finish. I
you
put
do.
My suitcase away within about 8 minutes of being in the house.
I'm so impressed right now.
Well, you know, it happened because there was a buddy of mine who's on the road pretty full time. And about 5 years ago, when my schedule was really picking up travel wise, he said, let me give you this one tip. If you will unpack all the way every time you're home, even if you're leaving the next day, you're going to feel at home more often.
That's good.
And that is absolutely true. When I unpack, I'm at home. And even if I have to pack that suitcase that night, I'm still always so glad I unpacked it.
Ooh, I like this. I'm doing that. I'm doing that from now on.
I think it'll change. I think it'll, yeah, it has really changed. And the times I have a suitcase sitting on my floor right now because I was lazy when I got home a couple of days ago. And I'm like, I don't feel home yet.
Yeah. Because the trip is looming. Because you've got the suitcase. It's looming.
I haven't unpacked yet. Yeah. I'm still digging for stuff.
Okay. Funniest way you've been injured.
Oh gosh. I get injured a lot. When I was in 10th grade, my best friend and I were holding hands and spinning around at youth group and she let go and I broke my wrist. I fell and I caught myself on my wrist. I caught myself on my hands and I broke my wrist.
I feel like I could have almost predicted that story.
Like right? I could have
almost said youth
See,
group.
I thought the same thing. Unfortunately, I didn't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. If you could pick another name to have, what would it be?
Oh gosh, what other name would I like? See, this is so funny, Lisa, because I freaking love the name Annie. Like I'm an Enneagram 7, right? Like I am an Annie.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to be anything else. So I mean, you want me to tell you which last name I pick?
Tell me.
Yeah. You're like, Annie, there's a cut. Yeah. I've got a couple of last name options that I'd like to put in front of you and see if any of those work out. But yeah, so I changed my last name before I changed my first name.
Well, you know what name I would pick for you? I think that I love your assistant's name, Liza. I would pick you. I think you'd be a cute Liza too.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I can see that. Yeah, I just am like such an Annie. Like I saw a lady yesterday and she said, my sister's an Annie. She's so fun. And I was like, yeah, that's the only shade we come in. Like we're just fun. Like Annies are fun.
You are. I cannot imagine an Annie who is not fun. You're so smart.
So the Lord knew what he was doing when he put that on my parents' heart. So I just, I have a hard time picking another one because I'm so Annie.
How do you feel about cheeseburger pizza?
I'm allergic to dairy and gluten.
Okay, if you weren't allergic, how would you feel about that particular thing?
I love cheeseburger pizza so much. I just haven't had it in like 7 years.
Okay,
I'll have to get EpiPen in the leg. You know, I say to people all the time, Lisa, that when I die after my funeral, I want everyone to eat pizza and ice cream because I promise you that's what I'm doing in heaven.
Okay, so here's the thing. First of all, that's fantastic. And I do think that's the way funeral food should go down. The thing about for me is like cheeseburger and pizza, don't you feel like those are two meals? See, I feel like they're two meals, two different meals.
Okay, so you're anti-cheeseburger pizza.
Yeah, I am kind of. Because
Wow.
I like all kinds of stuff on pizza. I'm fine with all kinds of stuff on pizza. But for me, a cheeseburger is a cheeseburger and pizza is pizza. So for me, that's like combining two different meals. I don't know.
Okay. I have so much respect for that. And I'm fine with that. Because I mean, the funny thing is currently in my life, I'm eating more vegetables than anything else, just to try to make myself feel healthy. And, you know, with the speed that we run in our job, that's necessary.
Yeah.
And so literally when you say cheeseburger pizza, I'm like, well, I'm not really eating cheese or burger or pizza. So it sounds awesome.
So I'm hungry now.
All three of them would be so sick right now.
So thanks, Lisa, because now I'm starving.
Yeah, now I'm super hungry and angry. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly.
It's great. I feel better than I felt in years, and I'm just kind of on fruits and vegetables, and it's awesome.
You look fantastic, by the way. I can see you just look really, really good.
I don't know about that, but my insides are super healthy and my body's doing what it's supposed to do. And so that's the biggest goal is the clock going round? Is everything going the way it's supposed to go?
It's true. And
is my mind clear and do I feel good? All that is true. So whatever my body does after that, we'll see.
Exactly. What's invisible that you wish people could see?
Man, well, the Holy Spirit. Be my first answer. But if you want me to say something less serious,
no, you can say whatever you want.
Laughter would be fun to see.
Mm.
But my truest answer is the Holy Spirit. If people could see how much he was moving and doing and affecting our lives, I think we would have a way simpler time of living our lives in front of other people for Christ.
So true. All right. Last question, Annie. What's the last thing you'd say about Jesus if you could only say one last thing?
He's true.
Yeah.
I would just, like, I'm just picturing this, idea that this is the last thing someone would ever hear from me. And I would just say, everything you've read is true.
Yeah.
Everything is true.
Jesus is true.
It's true.
Thanks for being on, Annie. You know I love you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. If you like what you're listening to, share it with a friend by letting them know about what we do here so they too can be inspired and glean from this community. And hey, if you haven't already, leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps so much in making this show what it is and continuing to spread the word about us. You guys are the best.